I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
What the hell does this mean?
It's been dead a while. It stinks.
We started this mess, and we have a responsibility to finish what we started.
This is a trap. We can't stay here.
You see dark blood stains on the ground.
And that's how my dad was taught, and that's how my dad's dad was taught.
He smells like blood, and he says some stuff. It's Doran.
Well, quite frankly, I feel like a bit of a... Oh, never mind.
Can't talk if I'm drinking.
Welcome back to Dice Shame, episode 77, Cut and Run.
This week's MVP is a new fan and friend of a friend, Justin Barrett. Justin's been binging through the early episodes, so he's not going to hear this for a while, but hey buddy, you're this week's MVP.
Enjoying Dice Shame and wish there was more? The Invictus stream is just a click away. Join us every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, starting in April, as we head back into our Ghosts of Saltmarsh campaign, starring me, Joe, James Schwartz from Dimension Door Podcast, and an old friend, Chris. It's a loose, fun, live show with plenty to offer if you're looking for more ways to spend your time.
All right, should we play some D&D?
Let's do it.
Harlan and I have been doing this thing where if we know we're going to have kind of an indulgent meal later on in the day, we'll get our veggie quotient just like taken care of up top.
Oh.
So this morning, it's like 9 a.m. by the way, before the show, Harlan and I are mowing. I guess we're still in the process of getting through this like giant bowl.
I finished my bowl.
Harlan brought me a mixing bowl while I was in the washroom.
Did I see
my
strawberries
makeup.
And broccoli in there?
There's
There's broccoli, carrots, strawberry, blueberries,
There's
and
like
she had cheese strings.
Three cups of broccoli in there that I was just going through.
You know what? Veggies are important.
It's
this
true.
Is what they call rabbit food. I'm not upset about it. I love rabbit food, quite frankly.
I like
in fact,
raw veggies. Yeah.
In fact, when my wife goes away and she says, make sure you eat vegetables in the fridge. And she's expecting me to make a salad. I like literally stand there with the fridge door open, eating a handful of spinach. And then I'm like, I did the same thing. I'm like, there's my vegetable quota. She can't say I didn't eat my vegetables. I didn't have to make a bloody salad, but
now on to the fun food.
Pizza pocket time.
Yeah. Of all the vegetables, a handful of spinach was not the one I thought you were going to go for.
It's the truth. You can't make that shit
opens
up.
Just a handful of spinach and an apple and a carrot.
Well, and maybe it's because Alex and I were siblings, but to me, like,
you still are siblings.
No, we were. I don't want to talk about what happened.
Not since that surgery.
There was a tear. No, but I don't know. Growing up, our mother did a lot of veggies, but they were always sort of folded into things. And I think her reason was, and it was a smart reason, is she wanted us to eat more. So she, you know, she put extra veggies, like cauliflower, in the mashed potatoes.
Kids don't notice veggies. They don't like veggies.
Yeah, but really, I like raw veggies. I just have a very specific, I prefer that. Like, I like raw broccoli over cooked broccoli. I like raw pepper over cooked pepper. So
interesting.
I've eaten so many more veggies as an adult when I get to eat them my way, which is sort of just like, oh, grab a pepper and eat the fucking pepper.
Like the start of Iron Chef.
Maybe that was her intention all along. She wanted you to like raw veggies.
Maybe. It took a long time to kick in, Mom.
Gotta rebel.
I don't know. Maybe Alex is different, though.
No.
The 9 a.m. broccoli, though, is like...
Novel.
It's a push. That's a push. Unless it's in an omelet.
The 9 a.m. raw broccoli bowl.
Hey. You get your broccoli in, okay? We're having pizza tonight.
I gotta try this because I definitely do not eat enough vegetables.
Yeah. I'm
telling you.
Well, I don't know if you're, maybe it's a palate thing because again, I don't like stir fry. And we had, you know, whenever there was a stir fry and the cooked peppers, I grew up really hating peppers until I ate raw bell pepper. And I'm a really big fan. I love, as a snack on a lunch, I'll have raw bell pepper with like tuna just on itself, you know, and that'll be a great snack.
Harlan is a big fan of bell peppers.
I think however you can manage, them into your meal, vegetables.
I love that last episode we started with a recipe for popcorn, and this one's just like, eat some fucking raw vegetables. Don't even cook them. No, I don't like them cooked. Just cut it up and eat it. Put it in your face at 9 a.m.
We are going to have the healthiest listenership.
That's not a bad recipe to start with, I guess.
We're unhealthy fucks.
Has anybody made the popcorn recipe?
I have, but you taught me outside of Dice Shame.
Yeah, that's true. This was real life friendship years
External
ago type stuff.
External popcorn.
I didn't make the popcorn.
Alex, did you make the popcorn yet?
No. I make popcorn all the time, but but I don't know what you used. We tend to use coconut oil.
You don't listen to Dice Shame, do you?
I did, but you didn't. You said something else. You said guarin or something.
Ghee.
What is that?
Ghee.
Ghee. Oh, ghee is clarified butter.
And Flavacol. Oh.
Clarified butter?
Flavacol.
Yeah, it's where they separate the fat solids from the oil of butter.
Ask your doctor about Flavacol today.
It's really, because it's like butter oil,
well,
but it doesn't burn.
Yeah.
High smoke
and coconut oil, I found, is just so, so light that you get this like really, and actually the butter's even got a little hint of sweetness to it. And it's just like
popcorn.
A very, very nice. But what I didn't agree with was just the process, to be honest with you, because what we do is we put the coconut oil in the pot and then one kernel, and when that kernel pops, you know it's hot enough, you pour the rest of the kernels in.
Why do you wait?
Because you don't want your kernel sitting in oil for the whole time.
Why?
I don't know. I think it's something to do with being saturated in oil.
You know what? Different strokes, my friend.
Yeah. The one pops, and then you pour the rest in, and they just start.
I mean, popping. All you're saying is that you, whatever. Fair enough.
It gets the oil hot enough.
Speaking of ghee, Ghee Whiz, it's time to play some D&D.
Let's play some ghee and ghee.
Beautiful.
All right, let's do it.
Night draws in, the sky darkening like a bruise over the city of Everland. Liveried guards patrol the secure walls and towers of the city, totally unaware that this most recent threat has no issue circumventing these fortifications. The Bell Market is shuttered, now home only to the stray Tressum and alley cats. Up the street to the north, past the theater but still in sight of Moongleam Tower, the usually bustling pub called the Innocent Jester is dark. One room's windows looking out on the back alley are lit. Inside, the tiny form of a halfling man sleeps, surrounded by his companions, swaddled in bandages, crusted with old blood.
I kind of picture us having moved out of the room, like a few minutes have passed, and we're sort of speaking in hushed tones and just discussing what we've just uncovered. And Red is sort of looking out the window at the end of the hallway, and he turns back to the others and he's like, what the hell does this mean? These things aren't just tracking us, but they're hurting our friends. That thing that B said about the burrow, that's a hunting term. It's trying to smoke us out.
It means that there's something more that we have to do to make sure that those things stop hunting us.
Not only that, they're clever. And Red sort of gestures down the hall to the open door where B and Orin are. They came here knowing that we weren't to, what, kill a friend of ours? That's sadistic. That's...
It's evil.
Almost as if it was bait.
What do you mean by that, Dorn?
Well, they're going after our friends. And, you know, I mean, to try and lure us in.
They went after their, B and Orin, who were with us. Maybe they can only go after people that they've interacted with.
I think these things are clever, and Thera's dead because of us.
She's not dead because of us. We didn't do this. The Hunt Lords did this. They were evil. They haunted a town. We tried to put an end to it, and we've at least drawn their attention away from the town. I'm heartbroken, but we didn't do this. We didn't kill Thera.
I agree. I've had my share of guilt, but we can't take blame for this, Red. It's the Hunt Lords, for sure.
I didn't say we killed her. I said she's dead because of our actions, and I think that's true. I'm not saying we wallow in self-pity, but I think we have to be accountable. Good or not, this is what happened because she met us.
Red is right. We started this mess, and we have a responsibility to truly finish what we started.
Red, you've been taking this surprisingly responsible turn to your character, I think, which is really interesting. Since visiting Jalanthar and dealing with the dwarves, and now again in Everland dealing with the Hunt Lords, we're hearing like a voice of reason come from Red that you've been very flippant previously, and it just feels like you're kind of revealing a more serious side to your character, which I like.
I think it's partly because these are tactics, terms, and sort of the way about going to hunt a prey that Red understands and has never had to be on the other end of. He is no longer the hunter, but the hunted, and throwing in the mix of B and Orin and the passion that he started to feel for this long-lost daughter, he's become a lot more aware of how much he could lose.
Jack, do you have a minute?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Red pulls Doran and says, come on, Doran, let's go see how B and Orin are doing.
Kraloth pulls you aside and says, I really do think it's time that we look into this further. And
I mean, we can't stay here tonight. I'm not even sure we can stay near B and Orin. If this was a trap to draw us here, it means they're watching here for us. So we got to get them somewhere safe.
There is also the thought, Jack, that these things have only attacked us or people that were with us when we were back in Nuenar's Hold or camping afterwards. I know you want to go back to see Torin, but there's a chance that if you do go and see him...
He's in danger right now. I can't stay away either. There's a false Kirin there, and I know I can't stay long, and I gotta assume they're watching, but I can't leave him in danger either.
Difficult decisions.
Red and Doran sort of duck back in the room.
Yeah, B is actually standing at the window looking out into the night.
Doran, maybe you should find out how these things approached. Like, you know, if they came in with hoods on, I mean, they looked undead. Maybe the guard at the front door has a suggestion?
Yeah, maybe I will look around and I'll see if they... Say, B, you never saw anybody come in, eh?
She said that she woke up and they were killing Thera.
Right, yeah. Right.
Why don't you go ask the front door?
Yeah. And Doran exits the room and goes downstairs.
And Red will head over to B and sort of stand next to her at the window looking out. I know it seems like an empty question, but how are you doing?
I'm okay.
Orin's going to be fine.
Yeah.
I, and Red sort of looks at this small halfling softly breathing asleep next to her on the bed. And he looks back to B and he's like, I think he's a fine man. And I think the two of you make a pretty spectacular team.
She searches your face with her eyes. Her whiskers kind of fold back along her jawline. Dad, Orin and I, well, we're in love. He's a wonderful man. You've seen it. And, well, we've been talking. We thought it might be a good idea to settle down together. Not like settle down, but more so, you know, what our relationship might turn into if we weren't constantly fighting for our lives. I mean, that's before all of this happened, of course, but we've been talking about it.
And Red's expression doesn't change. It's a soft smile as he watches B as she sort of nervously explains this to him. And only his eyes begin to well slightly. And he just nods. I know. And I'm really happy for you. And I want more than anything for you and Orin to be happy. I never thought that I would have the capacity to open my heart to you. And now that I have, I hate feeling it break.
She sits down on the window ledge and takes your hand and kind of guides you to sit down next to her, kind of perched there, the two of you, like, leaning on your tailbones. You've taught me so much already, Dad. Part of me wishes that we'd done this more when I was a kid. River was an amazing mother. She gave me everything I needed. But I would have loved to have grown up with you by my side, and it's meant so much to me to have been able to spend these past few weeks with you.
You've taught me so much. I know that this is not goodbye. It's only a temporary separation. You won't be able to escape me.
I don't intend to.
Good.
You're a good tracker.
Good. Because I need you in my life. Yes. Where do you think you'll settle down?
We'll go to the Hamperat house, I think.
Right. Brilliant.
These creatures that have been hunting you. The hunt only started after we visited the villa, right?
Right.
I've been thinking about it today, and we haven't been back since, so it's likely that they don't even know about it.
Yes, but nonetheless, you'll be careful.
Of course, but if it's not safe there, are we really safe anywhere?
Let's not start thinking along those lines. Yes, and Red takes B's hand and sort of cups it and looks her in the eyes and just says, I loved being a dad to you. And I can never repay you for how much you taught me about what it means to love. I love you, B.
I love you too, Dad.
And he just looks to Orin and then back to B and he's like, he's quite a little fella though, isn't he?
Not where it counts. Hey!
Schlong.
That's awesome. Downstairs, Doran, you find that Captain Vico Astiff is still in front of the fire, hands clasped behind his back, just kind of regarding the common room, maybe guarding the place, you're not really sure, but he's still on the premises.
Is there any bartender?
This place is closed down. Mm. You guys are the only occupants right now.
Doran walks behind the bar, climbs up on a stool, and retrieves, you know, like 10 silver pieces from his pocket and slaps it down on the bar and pours himself a beer.
I like that.
Then he gets down from the bar and he walks around and sits down in like a patron's chair at the bar and takes a big sip of the beer and then turns to the captain. He says,
so my friend up there is quite injured, and do you have anything you could tell me about maybe how these hunt lords wandered into this place, into this town?
The captain, like, rolls the end of his mustache in between his fingers thoughtfully. You called them hunt lords. What do you mean by that?
Fuck. Well, it's an assumption. I maybe it's just a general term, you know, something hunting us.
Deception?
Yeah.
Why don't you roll a deception for me?
Da-da-da-da-da. He smells like blood and he says some stuff. It's Doran. Fucking up stuff.
Yeah. A 15.
Not bad, not bad.
And also, I wanted to just apologize that we're here and this has all happened. Not that I feel we're responsible, but...
And he stops talking and swigs the beer.
And do you figure they were looking for you here? You apologized for bringing them here.
I love the idea that Doran takes a sip of his beer and just won't stop. Like, as a pause while he thinks. You know, he's just like...
Can't talk if I'm drinking.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
Captain crosses the floor and sits down at the bar, a couple bar stools away from you, Doran. And he sort of puts his foot up on one of the lower rungs of the bar stools next to him. And he says, tell me what you know about these villains.
Doran's eyes wide as he watches the captain and swigs his beer.
Kraloth kneels down next to the bed where Thera's body was. And Jackson hops off his shoulder onto the bed and begins kind of padding around and looking for a spot to lie down. And Kraloth,
it's like
blood-soaked,
bloody,
it's just like murdered,
torn yeah. up mattress.
Yeah, yeah.
Jackson's just like and putting Kraloth all over the evidence.
Yeah, and Kraloth reaches out, and is like, no. Oh, come here. Pulls him back up. And I look at this mess of blood and tattered linens, and I say, please, Kelimvor, give me some sort of sign, some sort of clue as to how to prevent this from happening in the future.
So, Kraloth, as you kneel by this bed, seeking divine inspiration, looking for clues, anything, roll religion check for me.
16.
You're going through B's story in your head as you meditate on this place where Thera's body used to lay, and it occurs to you that you didn't see the place of be in Orin's last stand. You haven't visited the kitchen of this pub yet.
Just have a flash of food.
Huh? It's where you find your comfort, right?
That's he right. feels his tummy grumbling. I love that it's like also unrelated. And he's like, thank you, Kelimvor, for the sign.
The kitchen.
Yeah, without any further ado, he pushes himself up and moves down to the kitchen.
And as you head downstairs, maybe you interrupt Doran and the captain in kind of an awkward tete-a-tete.
Oh.
Doran is standing behind the bar again. He's put more coin on the bar and he's poured the captain a beer. And Doran's like telling this long-ass story about how we're on this greater quest and that sometimes things happen and we can't really help it, but like...
A little bit of context.
And it's not that we've gone looking for trouble, but
so,
that...
So, Kraloth, the droning voice of Doran Iron Fist is echoing up from downstairs. And as you come down the stairs, you see the captain has kind of got like a glazed look in his eyes. And he's staring at a half-drunk pint of beer like... Oh my God, I have to go home soon. It's been such a long day and I can't not be talking to this dwarf right now.
I like that that's your deception role is just you like completely overwhelming him.
Telling true stories, but just the wrong parts.
I know.
And as you come downstairs, he sort of snaps to it, stands up, finishes his beer and he's like, well, gentlemen, I'll be by in the morning to take any more information should you want to speak with me, but... Have a good night.
Well, thank you. And where can we find you if we need to speak of this again?
Everland.
Everland.
The city of
Everland. One Everland Way on the corner of Everland and Everland. One, two, three,
shot in the dark.
Like Everland. Fake street. Yeah. One, two, three, police
Goose
street.
Avenue.
One. You guys are jerks.
Hey, Doran, come check out the pantry with me.
Sure.
Doran jumps down.
Cool. So Kraloth and Doran hanging out. Where's Jack?
I thought Jack might also be downstairs, but I think he might just be pacing the halls. I got a thing he's trying to think through at the moment, so he's sort of lost in his own thoughts, walking maybe not between upstairs and downstairs, just lost in thought after his conversation with Kraloth.
Red comes out in the hallway and he sees Jack.
He's got an illusion of a map floating in front of him that's got our path from Nonar's Hold to through the High Forest to here. He's got a book in front of him called The Hunt Lords by Jack Page that it's an illusion of a book that he's writing, taking notes, trying to figure it out. He's trying to paste together, okay, we know we've seen them here, there, and here. Are there any rules to how fast they could get between places, how much time it takes them to find bodies?
Jack, you doing okay?
I'm just trying to piece it all together. This is a trap. We can't stay here.
I agree. I want to go ask Quinn if he will maybe help B and Oren head back to the Humprat household. That's where they want to go. They don't want to stay here. I don't think they should, and I think we should get out of here. And I think they should take the horses. I also want to figure out how the Hunt Lords came here, if they just appeared or if they walked in through the front gate. That would give us some sort of idea whether they are able to teleport on spot or if they physically had to walk from the front gates all the way here.
Yeah, the more information we have of that nature, the better.
Cool. You think I'm going to go do that? And Red heads downstairs.
Can I make an investigate roll to deduce any of those? I'm just trying to figure out, are they traveling like people or are they teleporting between these places?
With all your skills and tools and brain cells, Jack, there's no evidence that you have that would suggest that they are moving with superhuman speed. Because the farthest distance that you have seen them travel, potentially, is between Noanar's Hold after you towards the edge of the High Forest. And they potentially could have caught up to you because you tarried for so long at Shadowtop Cathedral.
Yeah, and that's the sort of like, okay, there's definitely a few days of like non-travel time where they could have caught up to us. And I think similarly here, there's our trip to Jalanthar and back is time they could have taken to get from the High Forest to
precisely
here.
You may even deduce that killing them or separating their essence from their undead bodies potentially creates like a day or two buffer where they're not chasing you. Do you know what I mean? Like by killing them at the edge,
we set them back a little bit of time.
Precisely.
All of these attacks happened in the evening or at night?
Yes.
So there might be reason to believe tonight, don't just go sleep in your bed. This is literally a trap set for us.
Mm-hmm. Red walks through the front door and sort of heads outside and catches the captain. He says, Captain, I was just wondering where the body of Thera went.
The ranger, Quinn Nodros, took her into his custody.
And where is he?
I believe he said he was staying outside the Bell Market with some refugees, some kind of shelter.
Right, thank you. And Red heads off towards there.
Mm-hmm.
I think if it is a trap, I want to get B and Oren and Quinn, I want to get them on the road as fast as possible. So Red is motivated to move.
Mm-hmm.
They could show up tonight.
Kraloth and Doran, you enter through these doors into a dark room. The kitchen there is like copper cookware hanging from the ceiling and on the walls. There is a scene of battle here. And actually on the floor splayed out kind of in the middle of the room beside one of these butcher tables, there is a body with a tablecloth over it.
Oh, you know, my conversation skills are terrible.
Are they?
But this room speaks to me.
And Doran bends down to reveal the face of the covered body.
Yeah, Kraloth kneels down next to it as well.
The body that you reveal assaults your nostrils. This is a corpse long dead.
Long dead?
Mm-hmm.
How long has it been dead?
You can roll a medicine check. Its face is gaunt and rotted. Bone exposed here.
14.
Dead for at least 2 weeks.
What is a body this old doing in here? What happened to the bodies of the Hunt Lords when we killed them last time?
You burned them.
Yeah, you can tell by the way the room look over there.
And Doran's like pointing around, kind of explaining then to Kraloth how the battle took place. And,
yeah, so B told you a lot about what happened in this room. And then you see Doran, all of this evidence to back up her story.
Right,
the
right.
Places where pots and pans made dents on the walls, as B had described Oren's resistance, where he was picking up anything that would come to hand to be able to throw at these creatures. You see dark bloodstains on the ground where this chef who fell would have laid. That body is missing.
I'm going to just check this body. I'm curious if there's any sort of defining features, like a gold tooth or something special about it that I may be able to glean some sort of identity from.
Yeah, you get real personal with the corpse and you don't find anything apart from gross corpse.
It's what I do. Where do you think this corpse came from?
I don't know, but it's been dead a while. It stinks. You know, I don't know, but it seems to me like maybe these hunt lords are possessing dead bodies that they weren't hunt lords to begin with.
I'm going to go get Jack.
And I cover up the face of the hunt lord again.
Kraloth stands and leaves the room to fill Jack in on everything that we've found down here.
Red, you move through the darkness of Everland to a large building with lights on, just on the exterior of the Bell Market. You hear the murmuring of plenty of people through open windows, and this is probably your best bet in terms of the location of refugees that you'd seen coming from Jalanthar.
And Red, panting, sort of slows, and he moves inside the building and takes a quick look around.
Yeah, you head inside. He's actually fairly close to the entryway. Maybe he's talking with a little family who are, like, eating their dinner or something. And he stands when he sees you and kind of rubs his hands on his trousers.
And Red just embraces him and gives him a hug like they did on the road when they first met. And he sort of holds him back at arm's length. I am so sorry about Thera.
He just swallows hard and nods at you. It's good to see you again.
And you. You've done amazing work here. And Red looks around at all the refugees. Obviously, Quinn has been taken care of.
Yeah, he looks side to side. It's really, thanks to your help, you mentioned having set aside some funds here in Everland for the people displaced by the dwarves and giants. But really, thank you.
Thank the baker. They're the one that I'm sure has run all of this, but obviously you helped. And that's partly what I want to talk to you about. And he sort of pulls Quinn aside for a second. He just says, these hunt lords that killed Thera, they were after us. We might not have killed her, but I feel that because she did pair up with us, we have a responsibility. And I want to be honest with you about that. And Red just studies his face, waiting for him to react.
People just murmuring in the background of this large room, echoing voices off of the tall ceiling. And you see Quinn's face just blanch a little bit, maybe in fear or anger. It's hard to tell. But, oh, what's done is done.
Unlikely as it may be, they also could try to go after you. We haven't directly interacted with you for very long, but I'm worried about how far their reach might be. Furthermore, my daughter Bea and her partner, Orin, are heading back to a home that we own the deed for, just north of Belyard, the Humprat household it was once called. I was wondering, to settle my mind, if you wouldn't mind escorting them, as well as our horses, back to the Humprat household. Additionally, and he looks around, he just says, in a hushed voice, I'm sure there are a number of orphans displaced because of the actions that those dwarves took. If there are any young children, there is a safe place for them at the Humprat household as well, and you, of course, would be welcome to stay. Perhaps even lay Thera's body to rest in a place where you could visit her. And sort of implying that he could bring a few orphans too, because we have them at the Humprat household, remember? We have the two from Grudhog as well as
Thallus.
Yeah.
He looks left and right at the people surrounding him, living still in some measure of squalor despite the roof over their heads, and he nods at you. I'll speak with the community and make ready for travel in the morning.
There won't be room for many of them, but I'm sure since a lot of the families were displaced as holds, there shouldn't be too many orphans, Red says with a grave hope. Anyway,
there's like 80 orphans.
Yeah, well, that's whatever. Anyway, I suggest you leave as soon as possible, because we don't know when these creatures could come back. There are four horses in the stables at the Innocent Jester. These are the horses that I suggest you take back with you, and again, we would appreciate very much if you did. Let us know if there's anything you need. And Red reaches in the bag of holding and hands him 50 gold, just to cover any expenses for maybe a cart to transport.
Cool.
And yeah, Red nods solemnly, says, goodbye, friend, and heads
out.
You guys do that like cool warrior handshake one more time.
Yeah.
Dylan. Dylan,
you son of a bitch. Our muscles ripple, but Red's are like the Bugs Bunny. Like it hangs below his arm. Strength is not one of his strengths. But yeah, Red leaves and heads back to the innocent jester to let B and Orin know of what's happening.
So, Red, you walk back in through the doors of the innocent jester into this eerily quiet tap room. You hear the low voices of your friends coming from one of the back rooms, the kitchen, probably.
Kraloth is making arrangements with one of the guards to deal with the corpse. Now make sure that you burn it before you bury it. It's very important to burn it first. Actually, it didn't really help last time, but do it.
The guard's just nodding.
That's how I learned. And that's how my dad was taught. And that's how my dad's dad was taught.
Jax got his illusion of his work set up on a table and is walking around that table, staying within 30 feet of it to keep it constantly updating as his mind is churning.
And Red heads upstairs to B and Orin. Is Orin awake yet? Or?
Yeah, actually.
Cool. Oh, good.
You come inside and Orin's just opening his eyes.
And Red leans out the hall, like in the end of Lord of the Rings, and he's like, guys, Orin's awake! And we all run in slow motion.
Gandalf!
Jump on the fucking bed. He's like, no, I'm sore. No, but Red walks over and embraces B and embraces Orin, and he just looks at him with a knowing look like, I know you guys are in love and I'm cool with it. It doesn't need to be said.
Aww.
I'm glad you're okay, son. And he sort of stands up and steps back and wipes a tear from his eye, and he says, anyway, Quinn is going to bring you to the Humprat household. B told me about your plans, Orin, and I'm happy to give my blessing for what it's worth. Also, you'll be bringing the horses back because we have a new means of traveling around. Red looks to the door as the others enter.
Glad to see you're all right, Orin.
Thank you, Master Kraloth.
Doran walks in.
You're awake, little one. Oh, good.
Yes, I'm feeling a little bit under the weather, but here we are.
Hey, well, eat this. It'll give you +3 to your HP temporarily.
I couldn't possibly.
Oh, yeah, fair enough.
Orin reaches out for your hand, Red, and kind of pulls you to like a kneeling or sitting position so that you're in line with his line of view, and then reaches out a hand to you, Jack, after you enter.
Yeah.
He takes your hand and again also brings you down to his level on the floor. And
he wants us to be friends.
Kind of casts a furtive eye over the room and says, Master Doran, can you close the door, please?
Orin's an imp. He's going to turn.
Scree!
And Doran, like, shuts the door calmly with a flat palm.
I'd been meaning to write you a letter, but I wasn't sure when you'd be coming back to Everland, so...
What's on your mind?
I'm so glad that you're here. I remember that box that the two of you were opening together, that it took you so long. Over days and weeks, you were trying and you found that token.
The goose.
3 nights ago, we were in the tap room downstairs. I was livening up the place here and there between the tables with me mandolin, making B laugh, cavorting and whatnot. A group of card players sat in the corner all night. Don't you ask me what game it was, because I didn't recognize it. I passed by playing music when I saw one man draw a token out of his pocket. Pretty thing, shining in the gold in the candlelight. It was exactly the same as the goose coin you fished out of the infernal puzzle box, Master Red. I wanted to be discreet, not knowing what kind of attention I could attract by asking about the thing. So when the song was over, I picked the coin right off the table and I said, what a pretty thing. And I asked where I could get one of me own. The man sneered at me and said, Yarter.
Yarter?
Though you've as much chance of getting one as the chickens across the street, he said. Well-off-looking fellow, with an oiled hairstyle and fashionable clothes. Hadn't seen him before and not since, though I've been looking. Again, I didn't want to attract attention, so I just flipped the coin back to him, and I told him I'd be accepting all forms of tips, though preferably metal and not wooden. And then the table laughed, and I went on my way. I thought you'd want to know.
Thank you, Orin. Yes, this gives new light. And Red sort of looks towards the others. Yata.
Yeah, there's that like sparkle of the puzzle box in Jack's eye, just from that like piece of psychic damage it did to us trying to open it, that I think shines in my eye and yours, Red, as we sort of look at this thing.
Yeah, but it gets quickly glazed over with the prospect of Waterdeep, unfortunately, and Red sort of almost too excited sees the sadness in Jack's eye, and he's like, yes, thank you so much, Orin. We need to head off to Waterdeep as soon as possible. Torin could be in trouble, and we've put it on the back burner for long enough. And Red stands up.
What are you two going to do?
They're heading back to the Humprat household.
Oh.
They've decided to, well, and Red sort of gestures as if, you know, you can tell them if you want.
B is like uncomfortably sort of looking from face to face of the four of you. Well, we're going together.
Oh, Doran's like
inadequately explains.
That would make sense. That would be a logical decision because you'd be able to look.
Krayloff, they're doing kisses in a meaningful way.
Oh, Dad.
Oh. Well, why didn't you say so? Well, but I guess that then this is goodbye for now.
Only for now. Master Krayloff, obviously you know where we are, and we'll be looking after the place for you.
Well, good. I look forward to coming back and making a huge feast for everybody when we do come back that way. Give me a hug. Here, I'll be gentle. Give me. Okay. All right. Easy. And I guess we say our goodbyes. And
yeah, I think we all file out of the room. Red hangs back and just turns to B one more time and embraces her, breathes her in deeply, and even pulls a hand for Orin and brings Orin into the mix for the three of them to hug.
She sort of murmurs into your fur, thank you for letting me tag along on your adventure this
far. No. Thank you for coming along. You've showed me so much more than I thought I could ever be. You've made me want to try to be a better person. And I will be eternally grateful because of that.
He kisses her and he bends down and he kisses Orin on the top of his head. And he says, you take care of each other, all right?
We will, Dad. We'll keep each other safe.
And Red heads for the door and heads out to the hallway. A piece of his heart left behind.
Krayloff gives him a reassuring pat on the back as we walk out of the inn.
Yeah, Red starts bawling as he's like out. He's just like, it's fine. It's just fine. They'll be fine.
Oh, buddy. Come on in. Come here.
You know? And yeah, he hugs Krayloff.
We kind of walk arm in arm towards
exactly.
The tower.
He's just breathing you and he's like, I just, you know, I never thought I would be a dad. Right. Now I really like it.
I'm truly shocked.
Me too. Yeah. And thank you, Doran, he says. You pushed me to be a better dad to be, and I owe you that.
Well, quite frankly, I feel like a bit of a... Oh, never mind.
And Dora just looks down at his feet.
What?
What is that supposed to mean? Walking?
Well, you know me. I'm always saying the wrong thing at the wrong time, so.
Oh, I see. I thought he just wasn't paying attention.
No?
Yeah, I like to keep it short in the summer.
But what's funny is that, I mean, Red, you know that when push comes to shove, Doran is not going to sell out the party.
I do. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I appreciate Doran.
So as we're walking through the streets of Everland towards Moongleam Tower, Jack's sort of choked up worrying about what he could find there. I mean, the reality of coming back and seeing Orin near dead and Thera actually dead in relation to them because somebody knew they were in some way related. And now, on Red's advice, it's been a couple of days where we haven't communicated anything back to... I'm really worried about Torin. Until we get back and can make sure he's safe. God, who knows what we're going to find. We just got to get there.
When you ascend through the dark stairwells and twisting hallways of Moongleam Tower, led by a black-robed teenager, you enter the teleportation room to find that Flowin, the sleepy mage from your first visit to Moongleam Tower, isn't here right now. Instead, a lanky, pale man with sunken cheeks and a big nose is walking a kind of slow perimeter around the circumference of the circle, gesturing with his hands over and over. The smell of sulfur and cinnamon hangs in the air,
as you enter the room. He ignores you for a moment, and you watch as he flamboyantly exaggerates and whispers, "Ta-da!" Nothing happens. He turns to face you, blushing slightly. "Nespral Mank, at your service. Who might you be, please?"
"We're the Nightstone Four. We need to go to Waterdeep."
"Ah, of course." And he gestures for the four of you to enter the teleportation circle, all business. And he lights candles that surround the room in wall-mounted candelabras as you step into the circle of runes carved into the worn stone floor. He speaks a few practiced incantations, and the carvings blaze to life, white, blue, and shining. They shimmer for a few moments, and then, with a crackle of magical energy, a glaring white portal opens before you. You're drawn into it, sucked in by the gravity of this magic, and you're gone. Nespral Mank alone blinks in the relative gloom after the portal closes, grabs a nearby straw broom, and starts swinging at the cobwebs gathered in the corner of the room.
Back to Waterdeep. Oh boy, I hope Torin's okay. Thank you once again to our wonderful Patreon supporters, Christopher Ryan Evans, Mitchell Cadwell, Mari Kroniski, Jessica Orrit, Colin Burkhart, Daniel, Doug, Katie Orrit, and Merlin. See you soon!
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.